Look, let's take a couple minutes. Let's read the word so at least you can say, we heard the word today. Although you've heard a ton of it. Look in 1 Corinthians 10. I want to take just a couple minutes here. Write this one down. And do y'all see what I do to my Bible? I do this all the time. So I have people that say, I want your Bible when you die. And I say, tells my wife that. Get Mike's Bible when he dies for me. She said, I got kids to get those Bibles too. So anyway, but I'm a mess at that too. I write all over my Bible. That's why electronic gadgets don't work as well for me as they do for you guys, because I can't write on them. I love that. So anyway, yeah, I'm so old school, right? How many are going to play basketball this afternoon?
No.
Huh? Didn't y'all have a good time? I already heard great reports on basketball. Jonathan, you going to play? Wow, after making fun of your wife falling on the platform? Ooh, wow. Dude, I don't know. I know, right? Praise team was getting wild the other night. Okay, look, let's look at this quickly. I want to talk to you about baptism, so write this down as just a sidebar note. I won't hit on it hard, but it's there for you. Hebrews 6:2. Hebrews 6:2 says that there will be a time when Paul is writing, I assume it's Paul, and the writer says that we need to be moving on toward other things. We need to get past baptisms, plural. Plural. So I'm going to help y'all today on a couple thoughts. There's more than one baptism in your Bible. Matter of fact, there are at least five and maybe seven. Oh, yeah. Okay, there's a baptism into the body of Christ. Write this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. There's a baptism into the body of Christ. Say, I'm baptized into Christ. Let me tell y'all something. This doesn't mean anything to most people in most churches that get baptized in it because they don't know what they're doing. Someone said you're following Jesus in water baptism, and that's what they know. Do you know there's more to it than that? Did you understand there's more to getting baptized in water than you followed Jesus? So there are at least five baptisms. Baptism in the body of Christ. And you can write that one down. In baptism, just like communion, there is a celebrant, there is a communicant, and there's an element. That's theological. I was just letting y'all know I knew some theological terms. You have a doer, receiver, and stuff. Okay? So just help some of the rest of y'all. The communicant for your theologians in here, the communicant is the who's doing what. It's the who's doing it. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13, it says that you have been baptized into Christ, into the body. So I'm going to help y'all right now. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit, He is the doer. He is the celebrant. He does it. The person is the communicant, the one that communicates, gets the thing. That's us. And the element is Jesus. So when you got saved, Holy Spirit baptized you into Jesus. We look at this and we hear things like, well, death, burial, and resurrection. It is that. But I want you to see that when you get baptized, this is called an antitype. Write this scripture down, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Perhaps it's in that ballpark. That it says there that water baptism is an antitype and you're saved by it. Okay, listen to what he said. He didn't say water baptism saves you. He said the antitype. It's an antitype, which means it's a symbol. It's an idea that has been given either from an age past for the future or right now as a part of what we're doing or right now for the future. So I'm just going to help you off. You're confused. I'll try to get you out of it. When he says that this is an antitype, he's saying this is symbolic. This is a symbol. But it's a symbol of what? It's not just a symbol of you dying. That is part of it. And resurrecting. Our problem is when we resurrect, we don't change. If water baptism doesn't change you, all you did is got wet. Hello. If you get baptized in water, there ought to be something coming up. The Bible says if it is a form of the death, then who is resurrected ought to be alive. If I die with Christ, I rise. If I rise from spiritual death, according to Romans 8th chapter in the 11th verse, the Word of God says there that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, then it makes me alive. So I want to tell you something. When you're baptized in water, I get it. That this is Auburn water. This is the element. I am the celebrant. I'm the one that's going to do the whatever's done. You are the communicant. You're going to get in the water, and we're going to put you under the water, and we're going to bring you up. That's just Auburn water and Mike Wright and you. But by faith, when you understand that what I'm doing is an antitype of who I am, then when you go down, you receive something. And when you come up different. We've had too many people get saved because some joker in a pulpit said, come as you are. And they didn't tell you that you can't stay as you are. You can come just like you are. You can come with a beer bottle in your back pocket. I don't care how you come up here, you know, smoking dope. You can come any way you want to. But when you accept Jesus, it's no longer what you want to do. And it's not how you want to act. You've now come into a kingdom that has a king. You have been washed. You have been regenerated. The blood of Christ has cleansed your conscience. Part of what water baptism does is help you understand a clean conscience. Thank you. So I'm just trying to get some thoughts on water baptism. So in 1 Corinthians 10, right, it says this. Now, Hebrews 6:2 says there's baptisms plural. And I told you there's water baptism, or there's baptism into Jesus. There's baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, those of you all that have a problem with that, you take it out with the disciple or the apostles, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the gospel writers, and John, all four, which not everything is the same, John and the others, but on the subject of Jesus baptizing you and the Holy Spirit, all of them say it. Listen to what I'm telling you. Jesus has to become the celebrant at some point in your life. Now, let me help you Pentecostals. You ain't better than the non-Pentecostals. And you don't have more power than they do. Well, see, right now I made some of y'all mad because you think you're special. You ain't that special. It's the Holy Ghost anyhow. It's not you. Right? And if you're not winning souls, I don't see any strength in you at all. I was watching it and said it anyway. So listen to me. To get saved, the Holy Spirit is the celebrant. He's the doer. You and I are the communicants. We are the receivers. Jesus is the element, the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit puts us into the body of Christ. And according to 1 Corinthians 12:13, we are baptized into that body. Are y'all still following me? Okay. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, we change subjects. Theologically and grammatically, water baptism, baptism in Christ, and baptism in the Holy Ghost are all different theologically, and they're different grammatically because the subjects change in all three of them. Y'all tracking me? Are you grammatians or whatever you call them? So anyway, I'm just saying, your subjects changed. So the Holy Spirit was doing the baptizing, you receiving as Jesus is what you went into. That's born again. You were born again like that. But when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's Jesus now is a celebrant. He's the baptizer. Four times in the Gospels, Jesus is called the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world in one of them. But in all of them, he said that he is the one that will baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Why do we have a problem with that? Oh, well, when I got saved, I got baptized. No, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body. Your Bible says Jesus will baptize you. Well, when did that happen? He didn't do it when you got saved, y'all. You have the Spirit because you're in the body of Christ. The Spirit of God is in you. And you were baptized, put in that body by the Holy Spirit. So don't doubt you have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. Everybody born again has the Holy Spirit. So you charismatics, loosen up. But you move over here to the other baptism, and that baptism says that Jesus is now the celebrant. He's the doer. I'm still the communicant. I'm the one receiving, but I'm going into something different. I'm going into the Spirit. Are y'all still tracking me? So the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not the same as born again and receiving the Spirit when you're baptized in the body of Christ. Baptism in water is an antitype. It is an antitype. As a matter of fact, it's more clearly spelled out in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and you can read through 13 really, but let's just look at a couple of these. I told Brandon we'd be done at 11:30. I so lied. It was an accident. I wasn't planning on this. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers, say all of our fathers. Oh, I love that. All of our fathers under cloud and all of them passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses, who was their deliverer, type of Christ. You can circle that or write out by it. And they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Hello. We got some baptisms operating right here. When they were in the cloud was over them and they would be consumed in it. If you went up on the mountain to talk to God, the cloud came down and you went up into the cloud. So I'm going to help you right now. That's one of the baptisms. I don't know if there's in here. That's one of the baptisms, and that is we were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So that's two baptisms. The cloud, that would be a type of the Holy Spirit, and the sea, again, type or anti-type, if you would. The sea is a type of baptism in water, right? Now, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament, when the Spirit was there, what did the cloud do? Y'all help me. What did the cloud do? The cloud led them. Aren't we led and guided by the Holy Spirit? It led them by day. It was a cloud. It kept them from the sun's torture during the day. It was a cloud of fire by night and gave them warmth. There's like air conditioning, and that means you can live in a hellish place and still be cool. I mean, you can be in a bad place, but if you got the Holy Ghost, you can just do it. It means you can be in a cold place and bring the fire of God. Hallelujah. Just saying. Okay, well, that's three that liked it. The rest of y'all, help me. Okay, but look. So that's two baptisms. The baptism in the sea. Now, I want you to think, this is Auburn water. But there's an antitype here. There's another element. There's another symbol. And it's a baptism in the sea. Now, remember with me what happened at the baptism at the sea. The Bible said they were all baptized in the water there. Moses comes up to the edge of the water. He stands there, and who's behind him other than the children of Israel? Pharaoh and his army. They're about to kill him. He stands there and says, God, what am I going to do? And what did the Lord say to him? Hold up your scepter, and just watch what's going to happen. He picked up his scepter, and the Bible said that water split open, it mountained up on both sides, and said, go forward. They go through on dry ground. They're walking through there, all of them going through. You know, about 1 million-plus people are all walking through there. Pharaoh's coming, the cloud's behind him, his cloud behind him. But your Bible says, here you go again, the cloud came down and got between them and Pharaoh. Isn't that good about the Holy Ghost? When the devil's hot on your heels, the Holy Ghost can come down and get between you and him. I'm just saying. So the Holy Ghost came down, the cloud came down, and they're standing there. The water opens. Now, the Bible says that they were baptized in the sea. They went through the sea and got to the other side. Now, let me ask one more question. What happened then? This is like children's church. Help me here. They got to the other side. They started here on the steps. They went through the water, and they got to the other side. They looked back, and what happened? Yeah, right. The water comes down on whom? The enemy. The pursuing spirit. Oh, see right there. Somebody should have shouted right there, because all of us know pursuing spirits. We know what hounds us. We know what's behind us. I'm going to tell you, there comes a time when you've got to visit water baptism again. I don't have to be baptized again, but I tell you what I do. I remind that spirit that I'm a baptized believer, and there's something between me and you. I know the cloud comes down, but I know there's an anointing by faith that happens. This oil is olive oil. Buy it at Walmart. Can't heal anything. But if I give it to a believer, all that oil started changing already. When I give it to a believer, according to James 5, and they have a prayer of faith, a fervent prayer, and they anoint with that oil begins to do something. It's an antitype. It represents the Holy Spirit, the anointing. And when they touch somebody with it, it is the antitype. It's the water baptism. It lets us know that that's the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the Lord will heal them and raise them up. And if they committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. You know who that's for? That's for us. Now, not all of y'all, but for some of us that the devil says, look at that sin, that's why you can't get healed. When I'm anointed, I can let that junk go. I can say, no, sir. My Bible says, when they anoint me with oil, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and if they committed any sins, they will be forgiven. That's to help out some of us that have been jacked up. And the devil won't let us go, and we can't forget and forget and move forward, and that's what the anointing does. Y'all still tracking me? I don't know where I went from there. Okay, so what happened? It closed on him, and I'm just going to say this to you. Too many of us got baptized, didn't know why we got baptized. You got saved because you shook a man's hand, not because you got saved. So there are a lot of problems we deal with. And I'm just going to say something. Today we're going to baptize three people. If there are some folk that say, next month or next week, I want to be water baptized. Look, y'all, I'll move this outside. I'll keep it here to remember where we put it. But there may be some people that say, I want to be baptized again. Well, why would you be baptized again? Didn't the first one take? Yeah, it took. But some people say, I just didn't get it. I didn't get it. And now I see. And I was 12. I didn't get it. And I want one more chance. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's okay. You can do that. Amen. Nobody's counting. All right, just real quick, let's watch this. Watch this. The Bible says this, and I am really going to quit on this. You baptismal candidates need to go get ready. All of them ate the same spiritual food, say communion. That's right. They all ate the bread from heaven, right? Same spiritual food. And they all drank the same spiritual drink. Say the wine. Okay, we drink grape juice, okay? But anyway, the grape juice and the bread, this is a part of what that is. You're seeing in the Old Testament brought to the New Testament on why it happened. Why'd they do that? Why'd God do that? Because it meant something in the New Testament, and they hadn't written it yet. And it says this, and they drank the same spiritual drink. Now watch this part, because we have no Bible for this. Paul just pulls it out of the hat. He just gets it from the Holy Ghost. He just drops in from heaven. For they drank of the same spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Jesus. Wow. Can y'all see why it matters that you know why they crossed the Red Sea now? I mean, Paul said, I see it. I get it. What they drank was the water out of Jesus. I got excited. Now, can I tell you something? You don't have any Bible for that except that one verse. The only other place this is written is in the Talmud, which is the Hebrew scholars that wrote history and followed time and history. And they put a lot of stories in that we overlook or miss the middle of them. And the sense is they put it together. And it is in that. And we know Paul was quite the scholar. So anyway, I like that. I just think it's very cool that a rock followed them around every morning. They got up, rocks out there. At night, there were rocks out there. It's crazy. Now these things are for what? What are they for? To show God off? No, why? What does your Bible say? Our examples. They're for our examples. To let you know that God can still do what he said he could do and what he did. And I'm not sure, read these and we'll be done with this. But therefore, our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. This is what bothers me a lot. Verse number 5, I overlooked it. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. You can read on. It doesn't get any prettier till you get to verse 13. But if you read on, you're going to find out they fell to idols. They fell to sexual sins. And the problem is, y'all, you just were under the cloud. You were just crossing the sea. And look how you're acting. And the Bible says most of them. I'm going to tell you how many it was, all but two. Talk about most of them. All but two of them made the promise. I mean, didn't make the promised land. Two out of that group made it. The rest of them died because they went through the cloud and the water and they just didn't keep it together. Isn't that sad? But the Bible says this, if you're one of those, and we dealt with it this morning, that there's a way of escape. And I just keep telling you that there's a way of escape. Don't be discouraged.